Welcome to another edition of Believe in Giants. Bob Papa, two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks. All right, so the 2024 NFL draft is in the books, Carl, and the Giants wind up getting a guy that a lot of people thought they were going to wind up getting, Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And hallelujah, they got a legit threat at the wide receiver position.
Yeah,
it's been a, Bob, it's been a long time coming.
It has been. And it's, I think it's a reason for fans to be excited for this offense, because I think just from what they drafted, they've entered into the modern NBA, I'm sorry, NBA, modern NFL era. And that's, you've got to pass the ball. It's a passing league and you've got to have weapons. The more weapons you have, the more productive you will be. And we'll see how it works out, but the track record of LSU receivers in the NFL has been pretty good. They've been highly productive, if not dominant.
Reuben Randall notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding, which will segue me into another segment of another thought. But on the surface, this is exactly what the Giants need. And then when, you know, you mentioned Reuben Randall, but it was a very interesting take. And I don't think it was a hot take. I think it was an honest take by Mark Ross, who drafted, well, was part of that crew that drafted Reuben Randall, but that was before the LSU receivers were really dominant. But Mark Ross said something interesting, and, you know, everybody knows I've had my, issues with Mark, and I've you know, said whatever I had to say, but this is not one of them. He said, he made an observation, and it's his opinion, and, you know, it may have a little bit validity to it. He said, good receivers don't make bad quarterbacks better. I get where he's coming from on it. And he never said that, he never verbalized Daniel Jones was a bad quarterback. He just said he hasn't seen certain things. So I get that. I do believe receivers can make quarterbacks better. Wingspans, all of these different things, you can improve quarterback play. But that's not, I don't think they brought Malik Nabers in to fix Daniel Jones. They brought Malik Nabers in to fix the offense, to make the offense more modern. And I believe that given the weapons that's going to be out on the field, they will have a productive football player at the quarterback position, and I suspect it'll be Daniel Jones.
Very astute take on your part. Malik Nabers was brought in by the Giants because when they were picking sixth, they needed to hit a home run with an explosive player. I don't care if he was an offensive lineman, if he was a defensive lineman, if he was a linebacker, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Malik Nabers is here to help the New York Giants be better offensively. And if Daniel Jones is going to come along for the ride and the party, so be it. If not, then the next quarterback will
sure
have the luxury of having Malik Nabers.
But the one thing we do know, that offense will be more productive with Malik Nabers in it.
Absolutely, because it just, it, Malik Nabers, barring a catastrophe here, and by all accounts, this guy's going to be fantastic, and everybody that was drafting believes he's going to be fantastic. Excuse me. So they made Wandale Robinson a better player. He makes
Darius Slayton.
He makes Jalin Hyatt a better player. He makes everybody a better player because he's a dominant player. He has the potential to be a dominant player. You know, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here. You know, he's still got to go in and prove it on an NFL level. And, you know, just in the last couple days, right, teams have had to decide who's fifth-year option is getting picked up and who's not. And there's a lot of guys drafted in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft whose first-year options aren't getting picked up, including most of the quarterbacks.
Right. Right.
You know, there's only one quarterback from the first round of the 2021 draft that's still on his team. And this is a prove it year for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
So yeah. And
geez.
Right. And there's no, this thing is not an exact science, folks, because coming out of college to a person, they felt Trevor Lawrence was the best thing to hit the NFL since the John Elway draft, 1983 draft. They thought he was a can't miss. He's been everything but that, right? He hasn't been a bad quarterback, and you can see some really strong traits in him, but his numbers are the same as the numbers of Daniel Jones. And but it just speaks to you've got to produce at a high level at the next level. And yeah, you have to have good coordinators. You got to have good players around you, and you've got to be good too. Like you know, the Urban Meyer experiment was over. And now you have Doug Peterson, who's a really good coach and a really good offensive mind. So to your point, everybody has to prove it. It's a year-to-year proposition. But, you know, quarterbacks in this league are the key to success, and you got to have production out of that position.
BetOnline is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, NHL playoffs, stats, odds, lines. Head to the website today to use your mobile device and get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Now, we'll never know this, Carl. We will never know if the Giants did try to trade up or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some people that report on the NFL that I respect immensely. And some have it that the Giants were trying to trade up to number three. Adam Schefter was on, I think he was on the Pat McAfee show on Monday, and he said it was a full-blown smokescreen that the Giants were hoping that Joe Alt would fall to them at six, the offensive lineman. Guess what? We're never going to know. No one's ever going to tell you the truth. So who cares?
Well, that along with the fact that you do know that this is an administration where they don't give a lot of leaks out, and they don't tip their hand, but you do know they do their due diligence. The amount of time they spent evaluating these quarterbacks, and everybody was guessing what it was going to be for the longest time. It was JJ McCarthy. And then as soon as that came out, JJ McCarthy's stock skyrocketed. Everybody thought, well, JJ McCarthy could go second or could go third. He just continued to plummet to where he was probably truly evaluated to be. And so the Giants got a really good player at the spot that they were drafting. They didn't reach for anything. They probably did make an effort. If they could get a very good quarterback or a great quarterback, which was only two in this draft, then they were going to try to get him. But they weren't going to mortgage the franchise to do it. So they made their efforts. If it was for Joe Alt, they thought he was the best offensive lineman in the draft. Sure, you want the best offensive lineman, but you know, you have fans that say, well, they missed out on a guard, they missed out on this. We have short memories. All rookies, all young offensive linemen have struggled in this league. That's why the Giants are fixing their offensive line with the addition of veterans, guys who are seasoned. The Giants are fixing their offensive line via free agency. They have, you know, Runyon, Illuminor, and where's Jimmy Morrissey? He's like a third, fourth, fifth year player or something?
Yeah.
So when you look at the struggles around the league, teams with experienced offensive linemen are having better production from their quarterback. Teams without experience, teams that can't pick up twists with the Giants couldn't. And let's just face it, folks, the Giants were historically bad on their offensive line historically. So you want to add some experience, not just another guy you got to develop. Joe Off is worth it. He's the juice is worth the squeeze with him. The rest of them, they're just ranking them amongst guys that you still got to develop, no matter how good they were in college. You got to develop them. In offensive line, young offensive lines, just based on the college systems, they are not developing at the rate that they normally would maybe 10 years ago because you don't have the same time to develop them on a weekly basis. So they are addressing the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, plus, you know, the first year of Joe Shane, they drafted a couple offensive linemen that they're still hoping will develop.
Sure.
And Evan Neal, I mean, let's face it, he's still in the mix.
And there, I mean, this is his, what, third, fourth year?
Yeah, this
now
is put up or shut up year for him.
Right, and it's clicking. It'll probably click in because that is kind of the maturation rate of these offensive linemen that come out. Even highly touted ones, they don't hit puberty until like their third season, seeing a bunch of NFL reps.
You know, I can't, again, I don't study any of this. I just watch college football from a fandom standpoint. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I saw Tyler Newbin play a lot at Minnesota.
Right. Right.
Just be lying. Mm-hmm. And if I was watching the game tape, I would say, okay, that all looks good collegiately. They really liked this kid. They needed a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Some people had him ranked as like the fourth best safety on the board when the Giants went and they took him. People say that the Giants reached. Who knows? He fits into what they want.
He fits into what they want. And that's all that matters. And here's the thing, folks. If you want to kind of grade the Giants without ever seeing these guys in an NFL uniform, here's all you have to do. Look at the areas that the Giants needed to address and see if they addressed them. And then you'll see if that player produces in the area of need, because the Giants needed to get defensive backfield help. They needed to get a wide receiver, a dominant wide receiver. They got that. They needed to improve their offensive line. They did that in free agency. They are trying to figure out, well, I don't think they're trying to figure out, they're adding depth in the running back room, right? So Devin Singletary, who, by the way, hasn't been hurt his career. You got Breida Brightwell. Now you got, Tracy? And Eric Gray was drafted last year. So, you know, they're improving in the areas that will make them competitive in the NFC and in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, and they listen, Waller's kicking around retirement.
You know, just assume he's not here. He's still hurt.
You know the Parcells line, right?
If you're thinking about it, you're already there.
Yeah. So they went and they got Theo Johnson, who's very athletic, and from people that I talk to that study it closely, they think that he could be a really nice fit in what the Giants want to do offensively. Have at it. Go compete. Let's see what you got. I mean, still got Bellinger, too.
Yep.
So, I mean, look, people always say, like, what do you think of the draft? I'm like, it all sounds good on paper to me. Now let's see what happens when the light goes on. They got to go play.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't spend any time evaluating college players because I know when they get to the big league, it becomes a different animal. And that's for every one of them. You know, very few of these kids hit the ground running. I would say 98% of them don't. And there's a ramp up. There's a learning curve. So if I had to summarize the Giants draft, they addressed the areas that they needed to address. I think their goal is to compete in the NFC East. I've been reading where people are saying, they're not trying to get the division. Don't be so sure about that. And I saw our friend Chris Biz say that their goal is not the division. Oh, it is. It is. Because don't discount that victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Do not discount it, because you can't say the Eagles weren't playing for anything. They were playing for a lot. And I had said it earlier in the year, and we've got some podcasts. I says, the Giants felt the Eagles punch. They know what the Eagle was punching with. They just weren't good enough to fight back. They got better, and they felt the punch, and they punched back. They beat an Eagles team that needed a football game. And I think that tells you that mentally in that locker room, I know fans don't get it this way, but I know I can tell you, when you beat the one that's constantly whipping on you and you finally took their best shot and you gave it back to them, it means something and it carries over, not only from a player's, but from a coaching staff also. And so don't think that that doesn't make them feel like, okay, we're ready to compete in this division. The one thing that they can't quite figure out is the Dallas Cowboys. But maybe the Eagles take care of the Cowboys. You know, you want that division, right? You want a division where somebody's taking care of somebody that you got to take care of, right? And
well, you had that in the 80s. You guys stunk it up against the Eagles, but you own Washington.
And Washington owned the Eagles. You know, so my point, folks, is the Giants are going to compete for the division. They want to compete in the division. They don't want to be, you know, battling to stay out of last place. That's like the play-in game in the NBA. You know, battling not to be in last place so that you can get a play-in game. The Giant playoff appearance in victory, three seasons ago, was a real thing. They want to get back to that. And beating the Philadelphia Eagles at the end of the season last year puts them on the road to that. Adding Malik Nabers to the mix puts them on the road to that. So they're going to compete for the division. Make no mistake about it. That is their goal. They may not tell you that, but if you look at the moves they're making, they're entering the NFL this year at a level that'll compete.
Yep, and they need the quarterback to get healthy and to play at the level that he played at in 2022.
Yep.
It's end of the day. That's the end of the story. I saw these stories about, you know, the Seahawks GM might have slipped a little bit and Locke thinks he may have a chance to start or whatever. I mean, they can't say it any clearer that if healthy, Daniel Jones is a starter. Yep. If he's not healthy, Drew Locke is going to start. It's really that simple.
Right. And so, I mean, we're down this road so far with what Daniel Jones isn't. And some think he has never been, but he's had some productive years. His rookie year, Shermer had him playing well. His playoff year, they had him playing well with the Giants, Dabes and crew. We'll see what it is, but there is an expectation of Daniel Jones. And I think Daniel Jones has a certain expectation too. But this offense expects him to be better than he was last year. And I believe he will get there when he gets confidence that his offensive line is not going to be a sieve like it was last year. And he'll be able to go through some things. And look, he's probably going to make some mistakes early on and people are going to be like, see, I told you. But I believe they think, I know the expectation is that he will be better than he was the last couple of years.
Especially last year. I mean, he was awful last year. Let's not.
No. We're not going to sugarcoat that, Bob. And there's, like, we had a podcast about this. There's a cause and effect to that.
Absolutely.
They were historically bad. The offensive line was historically bad last year. It doesn't excuse Daniel's play, but I get it. He got beat up pretty good. And, you know, the guy that came in after him got knocked out for four games too. But that is what it is. Daniel Jones will have to play better. The expectation is that he will play better. And they're putting better players around him to help facilitate that. So I can't say any more than that.
Anything else you got about
this LGR? Draft? Let's go Rangers.
Yeah, see, I was going to take this in a different direction right now because there's I'm all in on that, the Rangers right now.
Yeah.
I'm all in on the Rangers. You know, the Yankees, their season's just kind of getting going, and guys are, some are hot, some are not. It's a long year. But this Ranger team, they did something that they don't normally do. They got through the first round in a series they were supposed to win and took care of business.
Yes. Yeah,
normally they'd be going six, life or death.
Yeah.
Like last year when they wound up losing.
This is a fun season to watch, and thank goodness we have on our team, our Believe team, Jay Lass and the Blue Crew, because I get lots of tips and nuggets from those guys too, NHL wise. So shout out to Jay Lazarus and his Blue Crew on Believe, and go Rangers. Hey.
You sound like Max.
Yeah, man. I'm all in.
Well, how could you not be all in with this thing? This is pretty cool. Then they got another series they got to deal with.
Hurricanes going to be tough.
Oh, it's going to be really tough. I mean, yeah. The Hurricanes took care of the Islanders pretty good.
And, the Islanders have find a way to lose games themselves too. They can get up early and all of a sudden run out of gas. They've done it quite a few times.
Yeah, so I'm pretty fired up about the Rangers and the Hurricanes, and it's gonna be fun. We know it's gonna be difficult, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gonna be easy here.
It's the playoffs. It shouldn't.
No, I mean, and Shesterkin has been awesome to watch. So, bring on the Hurricanes now.
Let's go. And that's some of that size. The Rangers got a little size. They can bang you around a little bit when they want to get after it too.
One more thing I'm excited about. I can't get into in-depth details on this, but we have, or the Giants are going to have, some very exciting announcements coming up pretty soon about the 100th season. Because this season is the 100th season of New York Giants football. First year, obviously, was 1925, so this is the 100th season. And I think for hardcore Giant fans of every age group, this year is going to be a lot of fun, because there are going to be some really cool things that honor the past of the franchise and celebrate the past of the franchise and celebrate the tradition of the franchise in the 100th season. And I know that, just keep your eyes open, because they have some pretty
great
cool things.
Yeah, it's a lot. I've heard a few whispers myself around the building, and it's some really cool stuff happening all year round. Centennial.
Yeah, so I think the fans are going to really enjoy what's coming up here, and some announcements will be being made in relatively short order.
Well, and this
is the table.
Other thing too, you want this type of season to be one where your team does well too. This, you want this team to do well in a season that's celebrating 100 years, and good teams aren't built in a season. One draft doesn't, but the Giants have put together a couple really good drafts. There's starting to collect some talented players that are contributing. And I am looking forward to this season, because I think they're going to be a lot more competitive. And they're going to be not just that homecoming in the NFC East. They're going to be that team that people are going to have to take serious.
Yeah, and a lot of things to celebrate during the year, like things that happen right there in that building.
Yes. That building right there,
that
Giant
building.
Stadium. Yeah.
So it'll be a fun year. All right, anything else to get off your chest?
That's all I got. Until next time.
How do we like to end it?
Believe in Giants. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Talk to you next time on Believe in Giants.